Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew chapter number 11, let's stand together and look into the scripture tonight. Amen. I told the folks it was a little bit more difficult drive than normal, and we lost about an hour because of construction, and then got to Kings Mountain and lost an hour. So I didn't get here about 10 till 6, and I just put my stuff in my backpack this morning, and I got out at the house and got getting ready to go, and I flipped my iPad open, and dead as a hammer. And one thing about them paper outlines, Brother Barker, they don't die. They may run when you spit on them, but they don't die. Amen. I can make them out when the colors run together. And so I tried to get it plugged up, and I went back there to get it when the choir came down and said 15%. I said, probably if I preach more than 15%, I ought to quit. Amen. I said, my folks have heard it enough. They'd probably start me out about 3%. When it dies, we're done, preacher. All right. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 1 came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, What went ye out to see? What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You can be seated. I want you to keep your Bible open, and we're going to look back into this text. But I want to draw your attention tonight to verse number 4. There's a phrase in verse number 4 that I'm interested in tonight. And I was talking to Brother Brandon, and I asked him, I said, have you ever heard me preach this message? And he said, I don't think so, preacher, but I tell you, Brother Barker, if I knew that I had preached it at Amazing Grace before, it has so churned in my heart coming up the road, I'd have preached it again. Amen? I mean, listen, I know we all try to keep notes what we preach where, but man, as a man of God, when God begins to churn something in your spirit, it might be because, I don't think it might be, I believe it is because God has somebody that needs to hear what he has to say out of this text. It's not the preacher, it's the Bible that does the work, amen. In a day, it's almost where there's more focus on the messenger, but it's the message that gets the job done. It's the message of the Word of God that's got the power to change my life and to change your life and to shine light into a dark situation. But I'm interested in verse number 4. The Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. I'm interested in that phrase, go and show John again. Go and show John again. If the Lord will help me tonight, I'd like to preach on this thought. Touch me again, Lord. That's what I need. Amen. Touch me again, Lord. You, as you begin to study the life of John the Baptist, you realize that when John the Baptist stepped out onto the pages of the Word of God and stepped out onto the scene in Bible days, it was a very significant event. It signaled a change in the economy of God when John the Baptist came out of the wilderness preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The arrival of John heralded a new day. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached. When John the Baptist made his appearance, what it said to the people of that day and what it says to you and I as we look into our Bible was that shadow is about to become substance, and prophecy is about to become fulfillment, and the focus was about to shift, from Mount Sinai to Mount Calvary. Amen. I mean, John the Baptist was the link between the Old and the New Testaments. Like Samuel of old, John ushered out one era and ushered in another. Samuel concluded the time of the judges. He was the last judge and the first prophet. Amen. And John the Baptist closed the door on the law of Moses, and he ushered in the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, listen, John the Baptist, he was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and man, from the very moment he was destined, because of the family he was born into and the tribe that he was born into, he was destined to be a priest in the temple of God. But early on, John realized that God did not intend for him to be another priest after that Aaronic order. But he realized that what God needed was not another priest after Aaron, but he needed another prophet after, listen, Elijah. Amen. One that walked and preached in the power of God. When I think about John the Baptist and who he was, I think about the esteemed position that the Lord Jesus chose him for. I mean, man, if I'd have been chosen somebody to introduce the Lord Jesus to this world, I might have chosen Abraham, who the Bible refers to as the friend of God. I might have chosen David. I mean, man, David's the only one that the Lord Jesus is his son, yet Jesus is his father. Amen. I mean, man, he was the one that the Bible said that he was a man after God's own heart. Maybe I would have chosen Elijah that stood before the nation of Israel and said, choose you this day. He said, man, whoever answers by fire, let him be God. And maybe I would have picked one of those other men, but not the Lord Jesus. But he put his hand on John the Baptist to do the great work of introducing the Lord Jesus to this world. What a position that would be. I think about his eternal proclamation. I mean, buddy, he came out of the wilderness with honey in his beard. Listen, a grasshopper hanging out of his mouth. I mean, a camel's hair mantle on him. And he came out preaching. He didn't come out teaching. He didn't come out giving you a do better speech. But he came back, reared his head back, and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Without fear and without apology, he stepped up and began to proclaim the word of God. The Bible said in those days came John the Baptist preaching. Amen. I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful for the preachers that God has put in my life, and that I've been able to sit at their feet and sit and listen to them proclaim the word of God. You say, preacher, did every message help you? Do you remember every message that's been preached? Nope. Listen, I don't remember every meal I've eaten, every shower I've taken. But can I tell you, every time I get in the shower, I get out clean. cleaner than I got in. Amen. And every time I get up from the table, I get up fuller than I sat down. And can I tell you, thank God for the preachers that God has used to mark my life. I think about here later in John chapter 1. He makes one of the greatest statements that's ever recorded on the pages of the Word of God. He's standing out there on that dusty road. Those shepherds are bringing those Passover lambs out of those Judean hillsides and taking them into the city. And listen, John the Baptist could probably hear the bleating of those sheep. But when he looked down that dusty road, those sheep bleat behind him. He looked down that road and thought, praise God. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Do you realize there's probably not a Lord's Day that comes about on this earth that some man of God does not quote what he said every Lord's Day since those days. What a statement, friend, that's been repeated for 2,000 years. Behold, what about that? He did not, Brother Brandon, he didn't introduce us to him as the Son of God, or as the Christ of God, or the Word of God, or the Holy One of God. But when John the Baptist got ready to introduce us to him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I say, happy day, when I heard the news, there was a Lamb who shed his blood for my sin and for your sin. And if you're here tonight and you're lost without God, your good works will send you to hell. You'll never be that good. You'll never live that clean. You'll never go to church that much. But I got good news. Your sin debt has been marked, fully paid by the blood of the darling Lamb of God. Amen. I think about that. Listen, I mean, that lamb's it's a special title. Only used twice in the Old Testament. Only used twice in the Gospels. Only once in Acts. Only once in the Epistles. But you find that word lamb 28 times in the Revelation. Praise God. It wasn't the king who loosened the book and opened the seals. It wasn't the lion that opened that book, friend. It wasn't the door that opened that book. But when God got ready to loosen that book, you know, open that book in that revelation, it was the Lamb of God that opened the book. Aren't you glad? There's a Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. You think about it. The great question of the Old Testament is this. Where's the Lamb? Amen. Ask his daddy, said, where is the lamb? And Abraham looked at Isaac and said, God will provide himself a lamb. And boy, all the way down through the 4,000 years of Old Testament history, that echoed question was repeated, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And after 400, I'm going to tell you, friend, I mean, for 400 years, Brother Barker, heaven had been silent, and the voice of John the Baptist must have been like a bomb going off in a library, amen? Heaven had been quiet for 400 years, and he stepped out onto the scene, and he said, praise God, I've been hearing, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And John said, there he is. There he is. He looked at them shepherds and said, you better raise them while you can, because this one right here is about to do an eternal work. I tell you, I didn't pull up tonight. I didn't hear no rams making noise. I didn't hear no heifers out there bawling. I didn't hear no lambs out there bleeding. You say, why? Because we don't have to kill one. Because he entered in one time, and paid the sin debt of the world. An esteemed position, an eternal proclamation. Matthew 3. What about the excellent privilege that he had? All these folks that have got saved around here since you've been the pastor, I'd say y'all have had several baptismal services. Barker, after all the years you've served in the work of God, I'd say been a lot of baptismal services through the years. I've been to some good ones. I've seen people get saved at baptizing services. Amen. I've seen some people almost drown at baptizing services. Amen. I mean, we're up in the mountains in North Georgia, and you get out there in that swift water, they can get away from you. And you really start praying, oh, God, let them live through this baptizing. And their head starts bobbing up down there, amen. Okay, swim to the side, amen. Amen. Good time. I mean, Brother Brandon, y'all still baptize in the river. I see that, amen. I mean, at least I don't know if it's as cold as in North Georgia rivers, but good night, friend. You don't get, if you get saved, you don't get baptized in North Georgia and rivers except from about June to August. After that, you come back up a popsicle, praise God. I'm talking about some good services. I've seen preachers preach while they're up there about belly button deep in the water, getting the glory and splash around like a child playing in a pool, playing in a swimming pool. But I don't know that I've ever been the one like this one. I don't know that I've ever been the one that the Trinity was there. I mean, man, old John the Baptist out there baptizing people, the Son of God hauled off all in that water and said, man, I need you to baptize me. John the Baptist said, no, I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus said, boy, just baptize me like I said. He's got the Son of God in his hands. He puts him in that water and brings him out. And the heavens open. And God the Father said, amen. He said, amen, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, we got two out of the three. And then the Bible said the Spirit in the form of a dove descended and said it, and lit on the shoulder of the Son of God. I mean, I've been to some good ones, friend, but I don't know that God the Father's ever showed up and the Son of God, but we've had the Holy Ghost. But John the Baptist was a part of a baptismal service that the entire Trinity of God was there. What a privilege. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to lay the groundwork that the man that's having difficulty in the text that I read, he's not a first-time visitor.
That's right.
This is not a child that got on the church bus for the first time tonight. It's not somebody that's just got saved and prior to their salvation, they've heard nothing about the things of God. But this is one of the greats. This is the forerunner of Christ that I'm preaching to you about tonight. Are you listening to me? And he said, go show him again. Go show him again. I wonder who might be sitting here tonight. You need to be shown again. I didn't say you were going to hell. See, I'm afraid, preacher, that folks have got the mindset that the only time they need God to touch them again and the only time they get empty is if they've backslid to a bar stool or backslid to a strange bed or backslid to dope or backslid to so many of the sins that we would preach against. But can I tell you, you pastor them and I pastor them and you preach to them on a weekly basis as you travel. I mean, good God-fearing people that are saved by the grace of God. They're going to heaven. They're serving in the house of God. But they're sitting there in the same place that John the Baptist was. You're sitting there thinking, is it really worth it? I mean, man, is it really worth all the time we put in? Is it really worth all the dedication, all the sneers and the snides that go on? Is it really worth that? And you need the Lord to do for you what John the Baptist needed God to do for him. I give you three quick things. Number one, I want you to notice your Bible. You find John in a place that'll break us. I'm talking about, boy, Herod liked to hear John the Baptist preach until John the Baptist said something about his sin. Amen. Amen. I mean, man, even lost folk like to hear anointed preaching because they don't like dead preaching. I mean, are you listening to me? They want to hear a man that's got something different on him. Old Leonard Ravenhill said, with all thy getting, get unction. They ain't a preacher anywhere can explain unction and tell you where it comes from, but if they've ever had it, they know when they ain't got it. Amen. And old Herod liked to hear John the Baptist preach until John the Baptist looked at him and said, hey, you shouldn't be married to her. And John the Baptist is not in prison because he was a sinner. John the Baptist was in prison because he was a servant. John the Baptist wasn't in prison because he was drinking. John the Baptist was in prison because he was preaching. Are you listening, friend? Hey, there's a place that can break us. If there's a place that can break John the Baptist, you better believe there's a place that can break me, a place that can break every one of us sitting here tonight. I mean, aren't you glad for an honest Bible? One of the greatest proofs that you and I have an honest Bible is that it faithfully reports to us not only the victories of the great Christians, but it peels back the cover and lets us see the failures of those same characters. It tells us about the life of Abraham and Isaac. It tells us about Moses losing his temper. It tells us about David's adultery. It tells us about Elijah's juniper tree experience. It tells us about Hezekiah's pride and the denials of Peter, friend. You say, why would the F.B. Meyer said he sure was thankful the Lord put that in there, because what we learn out of that was he made the very best that he had out of the same flesh that you and I are made out of. Amen. And I'll tell you, listen, I know there's some preachers you listen to that'll preach like they're supermen. They're bulletproof. Well, they must be made out of something different than I am. Amen. I'll never forget, Brother Barker, it's been 31 years ago, not long after I surrendered to preach. I went to hear Brother Buster Seaton preach. And he preached that night on God will make this trial a blessing. And I grew up around strong men and strong preaching all my life. And buddy, he peeled back the layer that night, Brother Jonathan, and let a young preacher see if you could be a servant of God, you weren't going to be a superman. That night I walked up there to him. He didn't know me from Adam's house cat. And I said, Brother Seaton, you don't know who I am. I said, you know my preachers, but you don't know me. And I said, I just want to tell you that I appreciate your honesty in preaching tonight. I said, because you showed me that I don't have to be failureless to serve God, and that I don't have to be faultless, and that if you can preach in the power of God that you preach in and still battle the same struggles that you battle, what it gave me that there was hope for me, friend, and there's hope for you. I'm telling you, there's a place that'll break us. He's in a dungeon that'll overwhelm you. Have you ever been in those troubles? It seems like everywhere you turn, it's closing in. He was in the dungeon in Macrius's castle, and man, it was a deserted place, almost like a furnace. It's not hard to sympathize with John the Baptist. He was a man of the desert, and now he was confined. He was an active man with a divine mandate to preach the day of the Lord, but now he was silenced. He had been preaching the judgment of God was coming, but now it doesn't seem like it was coming at all. You ever been in that dungeon? Amen. Amen. Can I just say this to you? Just cause it's dark now doesn't mean it's always going to be dark. Just cause it's been a while since you felt like the Lord has manifested his presence in your life, it's not always going to be like that. Amen. Some of you are sitting here and you can empathize with John, and it's not because you're sinful. It's just because you're empty. It's not because you're a drunkard. It's just because you're weary. But boy, we struggle admitting that, don't we? We struggle admitting that. Some of you are depressed. It feels like it's closing in. I almost treat that like it's a curse word. There were several in the Bible that, I mean, what do you think was wrong with Saul when David's in there singing them devils away? What do you think was wrong with Elijah when just four verses after he outran the king's chariot to Jezreel that he's out there ready to die? What do you think about Jonah just preached and Nineveh gets born again? And he's out there asking God to die. What do you think that is? That ain't discouragement, friend. I believe that's flat out depression.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We preach to preachers. Somebody's done them wrong and they never got over it. Somebody did them wrong. Stuck a knife in them, twisted it around. And most of the times, and I'm not being hateful, I'm not judging, I'm just telling you, I used to be the kid on the block, and I'm still not the old man of God, but I'm not wet behind the ears. After 31 years, I've learned and saw a few things. And some of the ones that you try to help the most, stick it in the deepest. Amen. I'm not being hateful, and I know preachers have mistreated God's people too. Don't think that's a one-sided street. But I've sat in offices, and you know as well as I do when you travel and preach, sometimes you're not always there for the church, you're there for the preacher. You sit there and hearts are unloaded to you and something happened along the way. No, he wasn't out there in sin. He was just trying to do right, but that hurt ran deep. And now you feel like you're in a dungeon and can't get out. But we got too much religious pride to admit we're in that place. Amen. This is my, I think, 16th service in January. And I ain't whining. I love what I get to do. Amen. And years ago, I'd have got so tore up this afternoon on that highway. I'd about had to have some medicine or something. I can't stand being late. But I just put her up in park, and I said, Lord, you know what time church starts. Amen. But can I tell you something? Right there is two tried and true. That Bible said, buy me gold tried in the fire. Yes, that's what gold looks like in the fire when it comes to service of God. But I'll be honest with you, I bet you they would admit there's been some times the dungeon will overwhelm you. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Some of the greatest men you've known in your day have lost children. I mean, was it Brother Seiler, Bill? All the men right in there, all those men lost children. Which one was it that a drunkard ran over a child in the front yard? Was it Oliver B. Green? Oliver B. Green? I mean, my bookshelf's full of his books. Was it J. Harold Smith that lost a little boy, got airplane fuel on him, and they were playing in matches, and it burned him so bad that he died? If I'm not mistaken, that's where he found that message, God's three deadlines, in that season of his life. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn with that. Men, are you listening to me? This is not a young Christian that doesn't know what serving God's about that's found himself in a dungeon that's overwhelming. This is the great John the Baptist that God chose to be the forerunner of the Son of God. And Brother Brandon, I'm just convinced if John the Baptist can go through it, you and I can go through it. There's a dungeon overwhelming us, but then there's doubt overtaking us. Notice what he said to his disciples. They said, go down there and say to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Does anybody else find that a difficult question coming from John the Baptist? Maybe if Thomas said that, I could figure that out. Lord, I need to touch it. Let me thrust my hand into your side. This is John the Baptist. The one that's been coming said, he's coming, he's coming, you better get ready. There's one coming who I'm not even worthy to unloosen the latchet of his shoes. I mean, listen, he'd been in prison for a while. Matthew 4 tells us he's in prison. Matthew 14 tells us why he had. So he's been there a while before he starts asking questions. What are you saying, preacher? Do you realize that some of the men and women who have the most faith that you've seen in your Christian life, even they have seasons where their faith is not strong? Sometimes faith is hard, especially when burdens are heavy. But can I tell you the good news that's even in our doubts, that the God that we're seeking is certain to meet us where we are. A doubt is not an indication that somebody has no faith. It just means their faith is small at the moment. But I got good news. He ain't never had to have a big thing to do anything. Amen. If he can step out on nothing, pull back the curtain of nowhere and create everything that he is out of nothing, he can take your little faith and my little faith and do things we couldn't even dream of. You say, what causes doubt? Difficult situations. Difficult situations cause doubt. I mean, he's thinking, I'm in prison for preaching. Lord, what do you mean? I could understand if I'd been unfaithful. And he sits there and struggles in prison. Difficult situation. If you don't have enough, he'll sure share you a few with you. Amen. What difficult situations got you doubting? Brother Rudy Smith said years ago, he said, don't doubt in the light. Excuse me. Don't doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. Amen. You youngers that have come to camp through the years and we preach to you, listen to me. In your young life, and I'm not dismissing you kids not having struggles, because I know you do. But what you're going to find is somewhere down the road, you're going to find yourself when everything you've heard for all your life, it seems like the ground's shaking under you. It ain't time to tuck, tell, and run. Amen. If you'll just hold on. Amen. Boy, we used to sing it, hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Amen. Yeah. And if you'll just hold on, amen, he'll show you everything. It may not be right off the bat. You say, well, preacher, it's dark where I'm at. I got good news for you. It said he dwelleth in the thick darkness.
Amen.
Amen. It said the lights, can I tell you, they tell me in absolute darkness that you can see the light of a match head for a mile, over a mile's difference. Can I tell you, if it gets the darker it gets, I'm telling you what, it said he is the light of the world. Amen. Oh, and can I tell you, when he gets ready to shine light into your difficult situation and your dark situation, honey, light, even the smallest light dispels darkness. Amen. You know what else happens, causes doubt? Unmet expectations. Yeah. Yeah. When you thought it was going to turn out this way, see, some of us think when we pray that God don't know how to be God without us telling him how to be God. Yeah. It'd be one thing for us to just ask him to do something, but we counsel him how he should do it. Yeah. 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 Amen. Lord, I need you to fix this, and here's how you do it. Amen. Unmet expectations. If I were counseling you and Elijah before you got married, one of the things that I teach our young children, when our young people are getting ready to get married, I said, you've got to go into marriage with realistic expectations. Let me just say this. He ain't going to wake up in the morning and look like a bodybuilder. Hello? I mean, amen. And he ain't going to stay like that forever. Them big muscles that used to be up here are going to be down here. And that really good tone Chaz we used to bench press is going to be around his belly button before y'all go to heaven. Amen. They wake up with bad breath and sleep in their eyes. Y'all ladies are laughing. And y'all wake up looking like a rat slept in your hair. Can I get a witness? Amen. Heard one man said he got married, got in there, and it was a wedding night. She got in there, took her wooden leg off, took her teeth out, took her eyelashes off, and took her wig off. He thought, dear Lord, she's an imposter. I might have had that one an oil, praise God. Amen. Unmet expectations. The wise men of Proverbs said it this way, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Well, you think he could have fixed that situation, but he didn't. I remember 2022. I think it was 22, 21, January of 21. I sat in the parking lot with two teenage young ladies in the back of our, vehicle. Their mother's up on the fourth or fifth floor, Miss Angel Borden, servant of God, wife of a full-time evangelist, their family traveling and singing, and she's dying. 48 years old. Two teenage girls, 14 and about 17. And we sat there, we talked and we prayed and we wept. Man, I thought, and I'll be honest with Brother Barker, when I think about this, I think about Brother Teague all those years ago. Man, traveled the roads and preached. I mean, man, he'd come to our area, and man, and amen. First camp meeting I ever preached in was all those years ago in that April camp meeting back in the day. Brother Edgar preached the night before, and I preached. And man, that morning, there's about 500 years of preaching on the front row, and I got ready to preach. I'm like, what do you tell them men? And I thought to myself, God's not going to let Brother Teague die. Many can heal him, and the testimony of the power of God will be great glory for the Lord. But I remember when I got the call that he was gone. And I thought the same thing about Miss Angel. I thought, Lord, surely, I mean, they're letting them travel the roads and meeting after meeting and service after service. And Lord, you're going to touch her. Remember the call came and Brother Adams said, preacher, you can let the girls come up and say goodbye to their mother. They were gone a little while. and he called me and said, preacher, I'm sending them down. Miss Amy and I got out of the car and during that COVID time, and they still wouldn't let you go in the hospital. We got out there in front of that hospital where I could see the elevator and they could see me. Miss Amy was standing beside me. Brother Jonathan, those little young ladies just got done telling their mother bye. And they come off that elevator and saw us standing there and they didn't say a word. I just put my arms out and Miss Amy put their arms out. And one of them ran into my arms and one of them ran into hers. Man, I thought he'd have got more glory of healing her. But that ain't my business. Where is it? What situation in your life did he not do what you thought he should do? And now you really need a fresh look. You need a fresh look. Maybe it was a death of a parent. Maybe it was a death of an unborn child. Maybe it was this situation or that situation. But where is it? Unmet expectations cause doubt. Limited perceptions cause doubt. When you can't see the end from the beginning. When you can't see. See, he said, blessed are those who will not be offended in me. In other words, they'll trust me. See, if you're going to trust him in difficult situations, you're going to have a view past the moment right now. You're going to have an eternal view of past just what's happening today and realize that God's not done writing yet. I think some of the greatest words, the greatest words in the book of Job is in Job 42, where he said this: after this lived Job. Job thought he was down for the count multiple times through the book of Job. And man, the devil surely said, you ain't going to make it. You're going to die. You're going to go down. But I'm glad the devil's not going to write my last chapter. Write your last chapter. Write your last chapter. We've got a God in heaven that's going to write our chapter. The dungeon to overwhelm us. Doubts overtaking. I'm hurrying. Low battery. I feel like that sometimes myself. I want you to notice there's a difference. There's a distance that's overbearing us. Notice what it said. Verse 1, and Jesus had made it in the commandments 12 disciples. He departed thence to 10. And Brother Allen, you can correct me. You've studied the Bible longer than I have. And Brother Jonathan, you're a great Bible student. I find not one occasion that Jesus ever visited John the Baptist while he was in prison. That's hard to believe. The one that's announcing his arrival, the Lord doesn't go see him. If that had been modern day folks, John the Baptist would change churches. And told everybody on Facebook why they did. Don't go over there. They won't see you when you really need them. What happened to you? Had an ingrown toenail there. It just really hurt me. God help. But the greatest, one of the greatest of the greats in prison, and the Lord never took time to go see him. See, it's not just a dungeon that overwhelms us and doubt that's overtaking us, but there's a distance that's overbearing. How long has it been since you felt like the Lord was close in your life? Or do you feel like deity's in the distance? There's a place to break us, but then there's proof to bless us. I like what that Bible said. Notice what he said. Go and show John again those things. Here's the blessing to me. He didn't show him anything new. He didn't show him not one thing new. He just showed him what he already knew. Everybody thinks revival's a new thing. Revival's a stirring of an old thing. Amen. I mean, buddy, there is a person. What about that John the Baptist that round under the neighbor? He didn't send somebody down there to the temple. When John the Baptist needed an answer, he needed help, where did he go? He got to Christ. There was a prophetic proof. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 35 and Isaiah 61. Those prophecies that are being quoted right there, where John the Baptist knew that was about Christ. Aren't you glad you can go to this book and see that he's got promises for you? Here's what I like. Notice verse 5. Let me just read that to you. Pay real close attention. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, but I do know what tense those verbs are in. They're not past tense. They're not future tense. That's present tense. Receive, walk, are cleansed. Here, are raised up, have. He said, hey, boys, go show him his prophetic proof. But what I want you to do now is go show him some present proof. It ain't just about what I've done. It's not just about what I'm going to do. But thank God I'm doing it right now. I mean, man, I love to go back to when I got saved. Amen. I remember the day when the Lord saved me, or a little bit of heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Or praise God, to go to 130 in that red book and sing, I never shall forget the day. Amen. Oh, I go over and sing, how sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. Yes, I'm redeemed. Oh, can I tell you, I love to go back in my mind to where I got saved, but thank God I ain't got to go that far back to find the Lord active in my life. I'm glad there's prophetic proof. I'm glad there's promise proof, but thank God Almighty, I'm glad there's some present proof of what He's doing in my life right now. Right now. You say, preacher, what's going to get me through that scripture? That not being offended. You know how the only way you can not be offended in Him is submission. When you submit yourself to whatever your present circumstances are. Come on back to the piano, sister. Come on. There's a place to break us. There's a proof to bless us. Then I want you to notice verse 7 through 11. And I'm done. There's a perspective to build us. You see who's talking in that text? Those are red words. Jesus is talking. Jesus told those crowd, told those disciples, told those people around Him. They said, look, there's none greater. There's none greater. There's not a greater person. He said, look, He said, Abraham's not greater. Moses is not greater. Elias is not greater. King David's not greater. Jeremiah's not greater. Joseph's not greater. He said, man, there, Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, none of those prophets are greater. You know what gets me, and I'm almost done. But that, what gets me is when John the Baptist was saying the worst about Jesus, Jesus was saying the best about Him. What grace. You know, He could have sat back there and said, John, are you ignorant? What? Did I mess up in calling you to be my forerunner? And now you're doubting who I am? Boy, he should have said, man, I missed it calling you, didn't I? Yeah. Boy, I like that old Rochester song from years ago. He just keeps patching it up, keeps giving me love when my world is torn apart. He said, there's none. John is saying, are you the one we're looking for? Or do we seek another? And Jesus said about Him, there's none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. My. That almost brings home the truth of that old song we used to sing back in the 80s and 90s. When He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy. And not as I am. He sees me in garments much whiter than snow. And the Lamb of God is worthy. And He washed me. This I know. I think one of the greatest songs we ever learned about our Christian life, we learned as children. We used to sing that, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. And I can hear them little ones at church. They don't half know the song words, but when they get to the words they do know, it's volumes at 10. If I could get the adults that know the words to sing at the volume that the kids, when they know their three words of that song, man, we wouldn't need no microphones. But it said, He's still working on me. Amen. To make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. This lion said, how loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. I wonder how many of us tonight would be honest. Maybe it's the first time in a while you've admitted, I need you to touch me again, Lord. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not out there in the pits of sin in this world. Lord, I'm trying to serve you, but I'm weary. Doubts have crept in. Doubts have crept in. And I need a fresh look. I need you just to touch me. Again, I used to, when I was refereeing high school basketball, there was a couple of charismatic preachers that would referee with us. And they'd always ask me, you got that second blessing? I said, man, if y'all stopped at two, y'all stopped way short, friend. I said, second, maybe second hundred, praise God. What are you talking about? You need him to touch you? Young person, listen, there's not always going to be a youth meeting. It's not always going to be a revival service. But you can take that powerful book that you hold in your hand, sit in your bedroom, sit in your study, sit in your quiet place, and the God of that Bible that y'all's preacher preaches with such power and unction, he'll walk off those pages and almost take you by the hand and say, keep going. Keep going. It's worth it. Don't give up. I really am who I said I was. And he'll touch you again. And you can teach another lesson, sing another song, host another service. Ain't none of us in here above needing another touch. You ought to read that text where it says, go show John again. You ought to just put your name in there where John's name is. Go show Mark again. Go show you again. Ain't no shame in that. I really, to be honest with you, I'm to the place, I don't care what the rest of, I need his touch more than I need somebody else's approval. I need his touch more than I need another meeting. Amen. You say, what are you doing? The other day I got to go sit in a meeting with some old senior men of God, and I got to preach with them, but most importantly, I got to sit there and listen to them preach to me. Say, what'd you do? When they got done, I went to the altar. How many times? Every time one of them preached, I went to the altar. Because he was touching me again. And I wonder tonight as we stand, I wonder as we have this invitation song. I wonder how many of us might slip around that altar and say, Lord, would you touch me again?